This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Outraged by a United States media system driven by profit, militarism, and government propaganda, over 2,000 people converged in St. Louis, Missouri last weekend for the National Conference for Media Reform. The conference brought together activists, policymakers, independent media producers, and others who came to St. Louis from every one of the 50 United States and from 12 countries. And among those 12 countries was Canada, and Red Eye Collective member Lisa Moore was at the conference, and she's joined me now in the studio to share her impressions of the gathering, as well as some recordings that she brought back. Well, good morning, Lisa, and welcome back.
Thanks, Mordecai.
Did the participants in this conference have a shared definition of what it would mean to reform U.S. media?
No, they really didn't, and I think that's one of the things that made this conference really interesting, was that there was a incredible diversity of perspectives and strategies and tactics, and the people, in addition to the geographic diversity of people coming from all over the U.S., there were people who were focusing on policy reform around fighting media deregulation and consolidation of corporate media, but then there were also indie media producers who are trying to create alternative media systems rather than reforming from within. There were also people there who are working around media literacy issues, media justice issues, looking at media change through a social justice and racial justice lens. So that meant that there was an incredible diversity of perspectives, and that meant that I don't think there was a consensus around what reform or what media change means. And for me, that was a strength of this conference. I think it's unprecedented for all of those groupings to come together and agree to disagree on some things, but also share an analysis of what the problems are, and an analysis of how a corrupt and profit-driven U.S. media is resulting in wars waged around the world and misinformation that's keeping an entire country unaware of those realities. So I think there were some sort of traditional policy reformers, but also there was a consensus that a profit-driven media is never going to result in an informed public. So for me, that was an important shared perspective.
Sounds like it had the vitality and diversity of so many of the social movements that are aiming for a better world.
Yeah, it did, and that was part of the analysis that was talked about, that the for-profit corporate media, I think it was Naomi Klein who was speaking at the conference and said that the corporate media is a wall that blocks the sunlight from all of our movements. And that was a really important way, I think, of looking at it. And there were people representing various social movements who find themselves up against this brick wall that prevents their information and analysis from getting out.
You were going to hear a recording you made and brought back of one of the speeches delivered during the opening plenary of the conference. Please tell us who the speaker is and give us an idea of the context of her speech.
Yeah, we're going to hear a speech that was given by Malkia Cyril, who's an activist and organizer with the Youth Media Council in Oakland. And she was one of the speakers at the opening plenary of this conference. And for me, one of the most important perspectives on that plenary, the speakers who came before her had been congratulating everyone in the room for victories that had been won, and were painting the room as a very unified movement. When Malkia spoke, she really pointed out a lot of the race and class divides within this movement, and I think set a tone and presented analysis that then shaped the entire rest of the conference. And so I wanted to bring this recording back because of that framing that she contributed, but also as I've been looking at reports of this conference in other media outlets, they're sort of the celebrity voices of this conference, like Bill Moyers and others, are the ones that are being recorded and replayed, and this particular speech hasn't, as far as I have heard, so that's why I wanted to bring it back.
Well, thanks, and let's hear it now. This is, as you mentioned, Melchius Cyril of the Youth Media Council in Oakland.
I mean, are we winning? I mean, are we winning? So I would be remiss if I didn't start in true activist tradition. When I say media, you say justice. Media?
Justice.
Media?
Justice.
When I say we want, you say justice. We want?
Justice.
We want?
Justice.
See, I am privileged today to be up here with some great minds, and I'm privileged today to be here with all of you. Folks from organizations like Reclaim the Media, Prometheus Radio, Media Alliance, Third World Majority, Media Tank, and the Applied Research Center, and hundreds of others teach me every day that we are winning. We can win. But there continue to be questions about who we are, and I hope to answer some of those questions today. Popular funk musician George Clinton said, and I paraphrase, whoever controls the news determines our destiny. Most of us agree that a fight to determine the destiny of this country is rooted in part in who owns the media and who makes the rules. The question for some of us is, how do we surface the historical context of communications and shift the current power relations of the media system? The answer involves, in part, dispelling certain myths about a free press, developing a relevant framework for media reform, and using that reform as a bridge toward justice and real structural change. Let me tell you a little bit about myself, because I like to get personal. Hope there's not too much information. I was born in New York into a childhood marked by the language of super predators and welfare moms 31 years ago. Lies about a steadily growing crime rate and a consistent invisibility about the relationship between the social conditions of my community and the policy decisions of this nation's leaders was kind of the media that I inhaled every day. This distorted and biased media content told the public a story about the content of my character. A story that built public acceptance for a political war on crime and drugs that led to the incarceration and death of millions, including many I knew and loved. For many of us, media reform is more than a fight for our media, it is a fight for our lives. As we've already heard, we face today a Bush-led war on the world with hundreds of thousands of deaths and even more dangerous times ahead. Our media system represents a crisis of democracy for the vast majority of the population. Our communication rights are one of the many civil rights being rolled back, but not without a fight. From state to state, communities refuse to give up their right to equal media access, fair, accurate, and balanced content, and the power to own and control media infrastructure. From alternative media and public television to cable access, ethnic press, and low-power FM, marginalized communities require a movement that demands telecommunications policies in our interests. When we speak of media reform, the intentions of the quote-unquote framers and constitutional interpretations offer incomplete answers to the questions, what is a free press and how is it guaranteed? We've heard that Jefferson and Madison understood the importance of an astute press in creating the foundation for a strong democracy and protection against elite rule. What remains both invisible and undeniable in the debate about U.S. media is the colonial context of its birth. As the founding fathers were documenting their concept of a free press, they were also building a slaveholding capitalist economy and a white nationalist politic that would entrench media policies and practices for centuries to come. Our current media system reproduces and maintains the colonial power relationships of its beginnings, understanding the role media plays in creating and perpetuating structural racism and class oppression is not a secondary issue. It is central to building an effective and relevant movement for media reform that fundamentally transforms the U.S. system of communications. By adopting raced, classed, and gendered lens to examine issues of media content, access, and infrastructure, we can dispel three dangerous myths. The first myth is that the U.S. media used to be more democratic and has become less so over time. The fact is, the U.S. media was born of colonial conquest and imperial intrusion, calling the democratic foundations of this press into direct question. For people of color, women, queer people, and young folks, there has never been a free press, and without racial, economic, and gender justice, there never will be. The second myth is that communication rights are inherently individual civil rights guaranteed by citizenship. But what of the millions of undocumented people forced by economic and political conditions to emigrate to this country? What of the millions of incarcerated men, women, and children whose citizenship rights are severed by confinement? What of the black, brown, female, queer, and young people whose basic civil rights require ongoing movements to secure and even then are always in question? Where there is no real mechanism to guarantee civil rights, citizenship offers no protection or guarantee of communication rights. The third and final myth we must dismantle is that we can achieve a free press without also working to end racism, sexism, and class oppression. Nothing could be further from the truth. Before the current trends of consolidation, re-regulation in the corporate interest, and corporate control, the media was simultaneously a tool for civic engagement and a threat to the life and liberty of marginalized communities and remains so today. In a free market society organized by class, race, and gender, no press can be truly free unless the people who use it and are impacted by it are also free. If we want to bring about real change, the media reform movement must adopt a movement-building analysis, change model, and vision that centers racial, economic, and gender justice. Media justice is a framework for media policy change that seeks to expose structural racism and class oppression in our media system, use local organizing campaigns to root our victories, develop marginalized communities as media activists and leaders, and build an expansive movement for communication rights. We want accountability, alternatives, and a media reform movement that spins on an axis of self-determination and strategic alliance. As a member of the growing media justice movement, we at the Youth Media Council believe there are five strategic steps we can take to build an effective movement for media justice. 1, connect media policy to racial justice. 2, use content battles, access fights, and media accountability campaigns to engage new constituencies in the fight for progressive media policy. 3, organize and coordinate from the ground up. 4, use key political moments as strategic opportunities to advance our media policy agenda. Like many of you, we are working to build infrastructure, base, and leaders at the local level to challenge the Bush administration's imminent attack on the 1996 Telecommunications Act. In partnership with Media Alliance and others, we will use the upcoming broadcast license renewal process to challenge corporate control of our airwaves, increase accountability on local radio stations, confront structural racism in the licensing process, and lay the foundation for national opposition to Bush's plan. It is our turn now. It is our time. Marginalized communities care about media reform because our lives and our freedom are at stake. We care because from hip-hop to advertising, media corporations stereotype and exploit the culture of youth and people of color for profit, while those same corporations use our families to create and assemble the technology that makes them rich. We care because our communities remain producers and consumers of a media system over which they have little to no control. But powerlessness is another dangerous myth we must dismantle. Together, we have the combined strategy and skill to dismantle and rebuild this media system. Where the U.S. has used our media to export racism, sell war, and destructively declare itself a singular superpower, the problem of the U.S. media is a problem for the entire world. If I didn't say it before, let me say it now. Victory is imminent. In fact, it is everywhere. From the accountability campaign against Hot 97 in New York to the Miami-based Immokalee Workers Fight for Low Power FM. Marginalized communities are here as stakeholders, as organizers, and as visionaries. A truly free press is our right, and we're damn sure gonna fight for it. Thank you.
That's a powerful speech, and thanks for bringing that back. Now, Malkia Cyril of the Youth Media Council laid out a number of strategies for media change. I'm sure from the composition of the conference you described, many other strategies were discussed. What were some that you found most compelling?
Yeah, you're right that there was a really wide range of strategies, and coming out of this conference, there wasn't any kind of unified plan of action, but rather a whole array of strategies that people can take back and implement and organize around in their own communities. And there were several that stood out in my mind. One of them is something that Malkia mentioned, that is how communities are organizing around cable TV stations license renewals, and every couple of years stations have to renew their licenses, and there's a review process that goes along with that, and there were a couple of examples presented of how communities have used that moment to try to get those corporate media producers off the air and replace those frequencies and those spaces with community public access channels. So that was one thing that was discussed, and strategy and tactics were laid out around that. Another was that I thought was also interesting was talking about emerging media technology and how communities can also take advantage of the new technology as it comes out and can try to get in as the rules are being designed around how that media will be owned and used. In particular, there's an organization and communities in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois that has been organizing around community-controlled broadband and internet access, and has managed to create technology and use technology in such a way that internet access really is in the hands of the local community rather than the Verizons and others that are trying to control it throughout the country and other corporate interests that are trying to control it worldwide. So that was one example, and people from that organization were there and talking about their work and also their work to create similar community broadband networks around the world. Another, again, that was about putting media back in community hands was around community-based low-power FM stations. And in the U.S., there's been a struggle to even legitimize community-based low-power FM. There now is an opening for nonprofit organizations and community groups to create their own FM stations. And there are several organizations, one called the Prometheus Radio Project, that is helping establish low-power FM stations in community hands and nonprofit hands all over the country. And as a result of that, there's an emerging network of low-power FM stations that are, in addition to creating their own media, are organizing and creating policy to broaden the scope and the reach and accessibility of these frequencies so that more communities can create their own stations. So there were many others presented, but those were some that I thought really represented a link between a policy analysis and advocacy perspective and a grassroots organizing and make your own media movement.
Do you think there were some strategies or perspectives that were missing from the conference?
Yeah, there definitely were, and I think in Melchia Cyril's speech, she highlighted one of those, which was the need to adopt a race and class analysis within this movement and really think about what the end goals are of changing our media system. It's not an academic exercise. It's not something to be talked about in theory. It's really a life and death issue for a lot of communities around the world who are impacted by the U.S. media. Another thing that there were a couple of things that were sort of suspiciously missing or underrepresented. One was an analysis or recognition of the history of this movement. In one panel discussion, Juan Gonzalez from the New York Daily News talked about how this movement isn't something that started 5 years ago. It wasn't founded by the so-called founders who were held up on the stage at the plenary and were talked about a lot as the founders of the movement, but it really, the movement for media democracy has its roots in the civil rights movement. It has its roots in immigrant community presses that were created to counter xenophobic and racist images of new immigrants to the United States. And that perspective was missing, and I think it's one that's very important in terms of lessons to be learned, but also in terms of creating a movement that is welcoming and diverse and is bringing in people of color and people in low-income communities that have been part of that struggle for hundreds of years. Another thing that was really lacking, there were a lot of indie media producers present at the conference, a lot of people from independent media centers all over the country, but their voices were not heard. There wasn't enough prominence given to the concept of teaching people to create their own media outside of a corporate framework, outside of a for-profit, even independent media framework. And that was something that really angered a lot of indie media activists who were there, and rightly so, because their voices weren't heard, and they really are at the vanguard of what is going to create a new media around the world, not just in the U.S.
Now, you've brought a few clips in, too. Maybe you just introduce them for us.
Yeah, as I was walking around the conference, I interviewed people in the hallways and wanted to get some perspectives that weren't being heard on the stages and at the microphones in some of these plenary discussions. So I asked people what they think needs to happen next in the movement for media change, and these are just a few of those clips of comments of conference participants on that question.
Well, I'm really glad you went to the conference, and even more glad with the report you've brought back. Thanks a lot, Lisa, for coming in.
Thanks, Mordecai.
My name is Anthony Riddle. I'm the executive director of the Alliance for Community Media. We have to adopt principles for ourselves which say that the most important part of media is the governing structure, that the community needs to own, needs to operate, needs to regulate, and needs to control the media structure that it uses. In other words, if you're talking about television, that you need to have local community control over the television station so that it meets the community needs. That if you're talking about radio, same thing. If you're talking about PEG access or LPFM or whatever, that the thing that will protect us in a democracy is that there's direct input from the community on how the media operates so that it serves the community's needs.
My name is Sheila Bishop. I'm from Gainesville, Florida. I think the next step in media reform, there's several. We do need to work on policy issues, and they're really important. But I think there needs to be awareness in the larger liberal community that a lot of alternative media is already being put out there. And having been involved in various projects like that have been around for years, the visibility needs to be raised. And I also think that we need to be very aware of media justice issues, and that without social justice, media democracy doesn't mean very much. And that's very important, even though it's challenging and it makes people uncomfortable. That's one of the things we really have to integrate.
My name is Ted Forsyth. I'm with Chicago Independent Media. I think we need to walk away, in a sense, from polarizing ourselves too much in the direction of like state and local legislative law and media reform in that sense. And I think that there's still need for that, but I think more people need to get more hands-on access and training to make their own media and be their own media and go out there and do it themselves and then post it to groups like Indie Media. I think that indie media is something people can do now, and it's revolutionary in the fact that it doesn't conform to people telling other people what to do, but to people taking initiative on their own, making their own media, getting their own issues out there, getting their own stories out there, getting their own news out there.
My name is Dee Dee Halleck, and I work with Deep Dish Television, and we are a grassroots media collective that creates packages of material made from grassroots people by all over the country. And it's material that will never get on public television unless we fight for it. I mean, that's what I'm here to do, is to try to get more venues for real alternative media. What I feel is important about this conference is that there are many different people coming from many different places, but there's a kind of commonality in the sensing the urgency of changing the media and the society, and ultimately the media in the world, because so much that's done here has such a heavy impact on the world at large. So, see, I feel it's very important to kind of internationalize the movement. I took part in the World Summit on the Information Society in December 2003, and to me it's sort of like the WTO in Seattle. It's that people have to realize the international connections in order to really see the picture in their own country. And I think if you really look at media worldwide, you see it's the same corporations. It's the Murdochs, it's CNN, it's NBC and General Electric, and it's the images that are flooding the world. And we have to work in solidarity with the rest of the world to actually envision positive structures and regulations that can ensure that the voices of everyone get heard, because without open communication and access to the technologies, we don't. Democracy is a sham. I mean, one of the things that Deep Dish is a television network that goes out over satellite, and we've used commercial satellites. Actually, we pay the price, and we've gotten material to our stations. We have over 300 community stations that take our material. More recently, we stopped using commercial satellites because we were able to use a direct broadcast set aside so that 4% of all channels on commercial DBS have to be nonprofit, and Free Speech TV, which is one of the organizations I work with and help found, has one of those channels. So, but that could happen worldwide. It's actually the International Telecommunications Union that regulates the satellite orbits, and use of that right now is pretty much limited to commercial and military satellites. And I think it's very important that we take back that's a public resource, and if commercial entities are using it, there should be a tax, a fee that goes back to support local media, because it is those entities that are going to bring democracy, and it's not the Murdochs of this world. And also, if you think about the military satellites, what gives the U.S. military the right to use so much of that space? I think that the world in general should demand peace satellites. For every military satellite, we need a peace satellite. So that's where I'm at.
We've been listening to the comments of four people who participated in the National Conference for Media Reform that was held in St. Louis, Missouri last weekend, and Lisa Moore brought those back with her after attending the conference. And before those clips, we heard a speech delivered at the conference by Malkia Cyril of the Youth Media Council. And recordings of all the conference panel discussions and presentations can be found on the website of Free Press, the organization that presented the gathering. And their website is www.freepress.net/conference.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.